Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise our God. Amen. Praise our Lord. We do serve an amazing, wonderful God. And you know, oh my, there's no limit to his willingness and ability to help us. You know, I just was thinking as we were singing Because He Lives and some of the other songs too, really. You know, years ago, you may remember Pastor David talking about Sister Whitman in Clintonville, and I was just recalling how it was she was scheduled to have, I believe it was a gallbladder surgery, if I remember right. And she was in the hospital, and it was supposed to take place the next day. But I know she was trusting the Lord, and you know, just I know that desire within where you just want to see the Lord touch and the Lord heal. And I have a feeling that was her thought process and a great desire of her heart. And anyway, there she was the next morning. It was supposed to be surgery, but that night she felt the Lord lay his hand upon her, upon that area where the gallbladder was. And she knew that the Lord had touched her and healed her. And when they came to get her the next morning, she insisted that they take her down for x-rays again because she said, the Lord touched me last night and I'm healed. And praise the Lord, the x-ray confirmed that she was healed. And it was a beautiful thing, a time of rejoicing, just to think that, you know, God took care of it. God took care of it. And I don't know, I know Sister Pauline desires that God would take care of her situation too. And Lord willing, tomorrow night I anticipate Zooming with Sister Sharon and Sister Pauline. So we'll see how that all goes. But you know, I was emailing with Sharon, and it was really something. I was just answering, I believe, an email she had sent me, and all at once, I had my Bible out. I had a scripture that I wanted to give her. And I set my Bible out there on the table where my computer is, and I don't have a whole lot of space once I set out my Bible. And, you know, it hit against the telephone. And all at once, I don't know if it was just the Lord or if it was actually a back recording. If it's a back recording, then it's way back there because I don't remember it at this point. But it was a message from Sister Sharon, and she was saying she didn't know if I'd heard yet, if I'd heard from Mother Chung or had any knowledge, but she said, Sister Pauline has been healed. And, you know, it was just so incredible because here I am. I'm writing this email to Sister Sharon, and you know, I've got this verse, and I'm just going to post for her. And anyway, all at once, I mean, it was out of the blue. I mean, only God could do this. I, you know, how could it happen? But anyway, that play, just that part, just those words. And, you know, I don't know what God has ahead, but I know we serve an amazing, mighty God. And, you know, they laid their hands on the sick in the days of old in the New Testament church, and people were healed. And Jesus laid his hands on people, and they were healed. And I know our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know he still heals. Amen. He's a God of miracles, and he's a God that does not change. He is a God who can do impossibilities. And I'm so thankful because, you know, we need to put our faith, our trust, our hope in him. And just, you know, let him do what he will do, to let go and let him have his way. Oh my, there's so much, you know, beyond us if we just let God do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we serve a wonderful God. I know it was quite an adventure this week. We had, I know church canceled on Sunday. I know Brother Sam broadcasted at home, but, you know, that was quite a story. We had rain at first, and And then, you know, it began to snow, and you know, when it rains first, you know, you're probably going to have ice under the snow, and it snowed, and it snowed, and it snowed, and, you know, the most snowfall that we've, the biggest snowfall that we've had all season, for sure, and in a long time, I would say, you know, it was nearly a foot, I do believe. And then, yes, besides that, it was very, very windy, and there were big drifts accumulating all over the place. And, you know, I looked out my front door, and man, you couldn't see the steps, you know? You just really couldn't see the steps. And so, you know, all this is happening, I get a phone call, and or actually, I think it was a text from the man who was going to do my sidewalk and driveway and so on, and the snow blowing and so on. He said his snowblower broke, and he couldn't come. So I'm thinking, oh Lord, oh Lord, what do I do now, you know? Well, anyway, so God helped me. I decided I was going to get outside. I had to go to the garage first and get a shovel. And anyway, he went out to the front, and I had to do the top from the bottom because, like, honestly, there's no way you could see where one step started and stopped. And so I just, you know, brush away or shovel away snow from one step to the next, and finally, you know, down to the bottom. Oh my, and then, you know, just realizing, well, now there's the sidewalk that has to be done, and I kind of had shoveled a narrow path in the back and getting to the garage and all that sort of thing, and so no, I had to walk my driveway to the front. And anyway, that was fun too, because yeah, it was deep. It was, you know, I'm pretty sure close to a foot of snow. So anyway, the Lord helped me, and here I go, you know, I go to the front, and my, it's a lot to lift, you know, all this snow. And anyway, I'm just thinking, wow, some help would be wonderful. And lo and behold, I think I had pretty well made a path throughout my sidewalk area, and I figured, well, at least, you know, any passerby could at least, you know, navigate a little bit that way. But anyway, I was out there, and all at once, there's a truck that goes by, and they kind of stop in front of me, and they say, would you like some help? And oh my, I thought, oh, I'd love some help. Yeah, thank you. And it was a young boy, and perhaps his dad, or he was at least with an older man, and anyway, they came and helped me. And in the meantime, my neighbor too, my next door neighbor came and gave me some assistance. But you know, it is amazing. You just, you know, God has so much, you know, in thought for his people. He, you know, he regards his people. And we are so very, very blessed to be his children. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are so very blessed. And oh yes, we're going to be talking about hope tonight. Hope, and oh, praise the Lord. We have such a tremendous hope in the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But let's pray here as I begin this session here. Praise the Lord. Please join with me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done, Lord, and what you are doing, Lord. God, we are so blessed and so privileged to serve such a mighty one as you, Lord. And not that you're just mighty, Lord, but you have compassion upon the sons of man. Oh, Lord, you have compassion on us, Lord. Though, oh, God, we be so insignificant in so many ways, Lord. But, oh, God, we just thank you for the price that you paid for our salvation and your willingness and all that love that we can't even begin to comprehend. But, oh, Lord, you did it for us, Lord. You gave your life a ransom for many there on the cross. And we are grateful. We are privileged. We are blessed. And we thank you that you called us unto repentance. Oh, God, you, oh, God, drew us to yourself, Lord. And, oh, God, we responded, Lord Jesus. And, oh, God, now we have a hope beyond this world. Oh, Lord, a wonderful hope, oh, of everlasting life. Oh, Lord, in the paradise, the place that you have prepared for your people, Lord. No, God, we are blessed. No, God, we do thank you, Lord. We do love you, Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank you for that gift of salvation, Lord. This great privilege that we have, oh, Lord, that you opened up our eyes. Oh, God, you gave us ears that can hear. And, oh, God, you opened up our minds so that we could begin to comprehend, oh, Lord, what your word declares. I pray that you have your way here tonight, Lord. Minister, oh, Lord, to each and every one. Let your word, oh, God, not return void, but, oh, God, let it accomplish that which you please, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, by the power of the blood. Oh, God, I pray that you give me the words. Oh, God, and oh, God, the thoughts. Oh, God, oh, Lord, the ability, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help your people, Lord. Touch and use us, Lord. Oh, God, do wonders, do miracles, Lord. Give us a greater faith, Lord. And, oh, yes, let that hope that is within us increase, oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, that you would use us in a great and wonderful way, that not only would it be deep within us, but that we could express it to others who so desperately need this hope in Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you, God. We ask you to move, Lord, to touch every life. And God, I just want to ask you to touch Bill Rahorse, Lord. Oh, God, he needs a touch from you, Lord. He needs new kidneys, Lord Jesus. He needs a touch from you, Lord. He doesn't always have good days, Lord. And I pray that you would touch Bill Rahorse, Lord. I pray that you would move in him, Lord. I pray that you give him faith. Oh, God, I pray that you would operate, Lord. You know the needs exactly and precisely, Lord. Oh, God, even the cancer, if it's not already eradicated, I pray that you would take care of it. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you and praising you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, we'll call this message Saved by Hope. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Romans 8th chapter. And read a little portion of that 8th chapter. Oh, yes, I pray that God's word would minister to each and every one tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we are so blessed, you know. He lives. He lives in our hearts. And, oh, yes, we can face tomorrow because, oh, yes, the Lord has ministered to us and come unto us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, and saved us. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to, first of all, talk about what is hope. And if we define the word, it means to look forward to something with expectation of its fulfillment. Amen. I think it sounds Amen. A little bit like faith. Amen. To look forward to something with expectation of its fulfillment. Amen. And let's just look at scripture here. Romans 8, and I'm going to verse 24 here to begin. It says, verse 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. Oh, yes. And oh, I believe that is something the Lord has put in the hearts of all his people. Oh, yes, faithful Abraham. Oh, yes, when he left his native land. Oh, yes, I believe there was a hope in his heart. There was a great faith that he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But there was a hope that, you know, God would lead him. And of course, we know that he was looking for a city which hath foundations, whose ruler and maker is God. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. I just think if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and we have come to him and he's He's changed our lives, and you know, we've obeyed the gospel. Oh my, then we too are looking for that city which hath foundations. Oh yes, whose ruler and maker is God. Amen. Amen. There from Hebrews 11 chapter. Amen. So yes, we are saved by hope, it tells us in Romans 8. But you know, if it's realized, that thing that we have hoped for, if it's realized, then we no longer need that hope. Because, yeah, for what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But, oh, yes, there are some things, oh, I'm sure that we all have not realized. And we are hoping for, we are believing God for. And it tells us, but if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Amen. Oh, that patience. Turning to Romans 5 here for a few verses. It tells us here in verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And it tells us in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, that hope that we have of, oh, yes, forever being with the Lord. Yes, that hope that keeps us on the road. Yes, and makes us not ashamed. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, that love of God, which, oh, he shed abroad in our hearts. And oh, yes, and sending forth the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, which is given unto us. Praise the Lord. Yes, that we might have a hope beyond this world. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, yes, and that wrath that they're talking about is eternal damnation. Oh, yes, oh, that which awaits those that fear not God. But praise the Lord, oh, yes, the Lord called us. He had mercy on us. And, oh, yes, he gave us a hope beyond this world. Amen. Oh, yes, amen. You know, we all need hope. And oh, yes, there is a great need in each and every individual for hope. Let's just look here at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter here for a moment. Paul writing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is quite a little chapter here. It just seems like, you know, there were some, you know, that wanted to say that there is no resurrection of the dead. And, you know, starting with verse 12, Paul's going to dispute that. He's got these points that follow. It tells us here, verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So, oh my, it seems like this debate was surfacing at the time of Paul, and I can't imagine anybody who really embraced the gospel thinking this way, but obviously there were some that were deceived and oh my, thinking in this crazy manner. But he debates it here, and he says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And then another point, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain, you know? We don't have anything to hold on to if there's no resurrection of the dead. And he goes on, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. I mean, we don't have anything to say, you know, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Oh, yes, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the gospel. And yes, we obey the gospel when we die out to our sins in repentance. And then we're buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. And oh yes, then we rise to walk in newness of life. And oh yes, he fills us with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You know, come on, you know, this is folly to, you know, for those that had this theory that there's no resurrection of the dead. Oh my, and he goes on, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. I mean, come on, let's forget the whole thing. You know, we would be absolutely hopeless if we knew not the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, and that same power that's going to raise our mortal bodies. Oh, yes, as it also verifies in the 8th chapter of Romans. Praise the Lord. And so then he goes on, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, there's nothing to cling to, there's nothing to hope in. And then he says it in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Oh, what a miserable way to think, you know, that there's no resurrection. But yes, we know, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we know as this chapter ends that one of these days, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, that trumpet's going to sound and the dead are going to be raised incorruptible. And we are going to be changed. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, for this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise the Lord, no more death. Oh my, on the other side of eternity. Amen, for the children of God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, and then he asks, oh death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And though so he ends this beautiful chapter, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, yes, because he lives. Oh, yes, and one day, oh, yes, we will be with him for all eternity. Amen. Oh, yes, there is a need for hope. And you can imagine in the very beginning when sin entered into the world, oh, I can't think of anything that was more horrible, more tragic than, you know, that realization that all at once everything had changed. there with Adam and Eve, who lived in that beautiful paradise that God had prepared for them and put them in and made them caretakers of. And all at once, you know, how the woman had listened to the serpent and tasted of the tree, given it also to her husband, Adam. And oh my, all at once, it tells us in verse 7 here in Genesis 3, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then, oh my, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And oh my, all at once, they weren't so happy to think of walking with God. You know, something else had entered in, something called fear. It says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. All at once they were afraid. They were hiding from God because, yes, they had sinned. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You see, fear would never have been a factor. Had sin not entered into the world. And they would not have realized they were naked. They would have felt no need to hide themselves. Oh, they would have continued to enjoy the wonderful presence of the Lord as he walked with them in the cool of the evening. But everything was changed. And God said in verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Of course, oh my, that's what they had done exactly. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, oh yes, the blame game went on, of course. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And oh yeah, the devil who was in that serpent, yeah, he tricked her. He deceived her. He deluded her. Oh my, my, he beguiled her. He misled her, and she did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Obviously, the serpent was a little different before he was cursed. He must have walked upright, and oh my, been more subtle than all the other creatures, as we're already told. Oh my, but you know, it was an entirely different detail now. God put a curse on him. Cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and he was going to be upon his belly, oh yes, forever, all the days of his existence, and going to eat of the dust all the days of its existence, of his life. But you know, in the midst of this, and yes, we know if we were to read the rest of Genesis 3 that the woman was, you know, had to bear sorrow and receive children in sorrow. And the desire was to be to her husband, who would rule over her. And, you know, Adam had curses put on him. The ground also was cursed. And, you know, it was never, never going to be the same. And besides, God had to take the lives of creatures in order to make them coats of skins to clothe them now. But in the midst of all of this, there was a promise. What I see is God did not leave them without hope. Despite their sorry circumstances, and you can imagine, oh my, how they must have felt, oh my, to have been so very, very blessed, and now, oh my, here they were, and you know, it had to feel utterly hopeless, oh my, to realize now, oh my, we're afraid, you know, we realize we're naked, we gotta hide from God, and everything else that came into the picture. But in the midst of this, God gave them a promise. He said in verse 15, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And oh my, you know, it was not to be realized for a long, long time. But oh yes, it was foretelling. Oh yes, that God would one day put on flesh to come to this world to bruise the head of Satan. Oh, praise the Lord, to give a hope beyond this world. Amen. Oh yes. And oh yes, to restore that lost fellowship that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. Oh, so beautiful that, oh yes, in the midst, oh, of a great, horrible dilemma, God gave hope. Praise the Lord. The promise of a Redeemer. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, you know, when Eve conceived and bare Cain, and you know, what did she say? She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And you know, I just believe that she was hoping that this child that was born would be the Savior, the one that would deliver them from their awful state, condition of sin. Of course, that wasn't the case. Oh my, you know, it'd be generation after generation that would pass before this would be fulfilled. But praise the Lord, oh yes, it was a promise of hope. A wonderful promise of hope, praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful. You know, the Lord puts hope in our hearts. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, I have to think of Jeremiah there when, you know, he realized what was happening. He was in the midst of it and could see what was happening to his beloved Jerusalem and what was befalling upon Judea there. And oh yes, we have his lamentations there in the book of Lamentations. But you know, in the midst of that, I love how Jeremiah expresses hope. Hope. Let's just read a little bit of this third chapter in Lamentation, going to verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And I love that, you know. Oh, we go through the battles at times, and at times, oh my, we suffer. You know, we have, you know, trouble at times, and God allows it even. Because, oh my, there's something beyond that he is doing in our lives. But Jeremiah was realizing as he penned these words, here in verse 32, but though he caused grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Oh, praise the Lord, his mercies. So great to cover all our sins, all our shortcomings, all our failures. Oh my, all the dreadful things that we so regret. But oh yes. And it tells us in verse 33, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause. The Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? And oh my, you know, people try to assert authority and, you know, tell God what to do and, you know, make rules and regulations that are not according to God's ways. It's not going to stand, is it? No, it tells us, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. Yes, at times he allows things that are not so nice to happen to the sons of men. Oh yes, he says, wherefore doth a living man complain a man for the punishment of his sins. And then, oh yes, he says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. But oh, praise the Lord, there still is something that God gives in the midst of all of this, in the midst of great sorrow and all pain and suffering. Oh my, he gives hope. We turn back here to earlier passage here. He at first said in verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, all the bitter stuff. Oh yeah, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. So, you know, oh, you look up at all those negative things and oh my, it looks pretty nasty and pretty hopeless, I would say. But oh my, when we could change our thinking, we could switch our thoughts to the goodness of the Lord, to his mercy. Oh my, he began to do that in verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and we just switch our thoughts to think upon the goodness of the Lord. And oh, yes, you know, if he wanted to, he could step on us. You know, oh my, we'd be like an ant. You know, he wouldn't have to put up with mankind. But yet it is of his mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Oh, praise the Lord, they are new every morning. Oh, praise the Lord, every morning is a new start. Oh, for us, so if we can just give it to the Lord and let him rule and reign in our lives. And he says, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, praise the Lord, oh yes. So yes, when we get to think of the goodness of the Lord and his great mercies, we have hope. Amen, we have hope in the God of our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And all that hope is expressed many times. You know, in the Psalms, David said in chapter 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. He is there, oh yes, to guide us and to direct us. He is in that place, a priority to have, oh my, immediate availability to the children of God. Oh yes, and he says in verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Praise the Lord. He knew that there was hope of the resurrection. Oh yes, even back then David had that hope, and he knew that his flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, hell meaning the grave here, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Oh yes, David had a realization that, oh yes, there was a resurrection of the dead, and there was hope. Oh, yes, and God beyond, oh, what we could even imagine, particularly at that time. And then he said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ came into this world, oh, to show us the path of life. Oh, yes, so he could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Oh, yes, Jesus showed us the way. Oh, the way, oh, yes, to everlasting life, the way back to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, how blessed we are as his children. Oh, yes. Oh, to give us that wonderful hope, a hope even beyond this world. You know, it's expressed in so many ways in the scripture. And I believe hope is a characteristic of the children of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New. And oh my, sometimes we might be going that path where, you know, it's very hard, it's very difficult. You can't quite see the end at that moment, and we don't know why it's even happening. And oh yes, we see such an example in the book of Acts, the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Here is as Paul is finally making his way to Rome. And here it is, they finally, you know, put him on a ship of Alexandria, and they're going to sail into Italy. And, you know, it's kind of obviously a little late in the sailing, in the season there, and they, you know, kind of came to Fair Havens, and you know, a lot of time must have been spent there, and you know, the feeling that sailing was now dangerous. It was past the time of the atonement, he says. The fast was now already passed, and it seems like that's implying the Day of Atonement, which would most likely have taken place in either the month of September or October. And so it was getting later in the season, and you know, Paul perceived in his spirit that it wasn't a good time to travel. And, you know, he tells the shipmaster and all of them in verse 10 that, you know, he has a feeling that this voyage is going to be with much hurt or damage. And, you know, that it could cost even their lives. But the centurion, who is Julius, you know, he doesn't, you know, listen to Paul's words in verse 10, and then they decide to go forth and make the voyage anyway. And the point that they were at that moment was not, it says, commodious to winter in, and, you know, and they realized, yeah, the cold winter weather is, you know, in front of us. So, you know, they didn't think they could really stay there. So, you know, they determined, well, we'll try to get to a haven in Crete that, you know, lie toward the southwest and northwest to try to get to this point. Venus is mentioned here as, you know, a point that they hope to reach. So anyway, here it is. And, you know, Paul is really, you know, he's already warned them, you know, it just doesn't feel right. It's too late in the season. And, you know, obviously God, you know, had stirred his heart up too to, you know, realize, hey, there's something off here. But he tells us, you know, and in verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, you know, it seemed like, oh my, you know, fair sailing ahead. Loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But this fair weather, the south wind and all that blew softly, didn't continue too long, you know. It just was enough to get them in the water and sailing towards destination. But tells us in verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And it was very, you know, very bad. I think we had a little sort of a little tasty, you know, the winds these last few days when the snow was drifting all over the place, and yeah, at times you could hear the wind and everything else, but anyway, this was on sea, and oh my, this tempestuous wind rose up there, and it was violent. And it says, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, so they couldn't control the ship. And so here they are, oh my, the tide has turned, so to speak, and it doesn't look so good right now. And it tells us, verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. It was getting hard, in other words, to control the boat. And continuing, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And so they lowered the sail and just let, you know, themselves be driven. No, it was a dilemma. Yeah, this, you know, tempestuous weather, and, you know, they were doing what they could, but, you know, undergirding the ship, and you know, yet fearing because there's quicksands, and oh my, if we go in the wrong direction, we're going to be stuck in those quicksands. So they lowered the sail, and so we're driven, but it didn't stop. Verse 18 tells us, and we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, all the gear. It was all going overboard because it was too heavy, and how were they going to go forth? You know, I'm sure it was no fun. And they were greatly afraid at this point, and you know, not knowing what the end was going to be. And so the third day they're casting out with their own hands all the tackling or all the gear of the ship, but still not helping. Verse 20 tells us, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Oh, it just seemed very futile. Here we are, oh my, and I'm sure they were thinking, oh my, if we just would listen to Paul, who was a prisoner at this point, you know, if we just would listen to him, we wouldn't be in this fix. But here it is, all these days going by. No sun, no stars at night. And oh my, no small tempest lay on them at all. You know, it was wild at the sea there. And it tells us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Oh my, it just didn't look like it was going to work. Oh, it seemed like they were all going to be drowning in the sea. But you know, God, came to Paul and, gave him words of comfort. Oh, yes, words of knowledge. Oh, yes, it tells us in verse 21. But after long abstinence, in other words, he hadn't been eating either, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Oh, praise the Lord, listen to this. There in the midst of this great conflict, oh, this great trial, this hopeless seeming situation, oh, God came to Paul and told him to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. No, yes, oh, praise the Lord, it worked out, you know. There was the 14th night that came upon them, and oh my, finally it came to the point, you know, they wanted to abandon ship, but Paul told them, you know, except you stay in this ship, you're not going to be saved. Came to the point where the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her just fall off. And oh, the day was coming on, and Paul encouraged them to take meat because it had been 14 days of them not eating. And of course, you know, they needed some food. Oh my, they needed some strength. So we encouraged them to take some meat and reassured them that it was for their health, and for there shall not be a hair fall from the head of any of you. And it tells us in verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all also took some meat. And there they were. It says, you know, in the ship, there were 276 souls, 276 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast all the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the four parts stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers, you know, they wanted to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should escape, but the centurion, he didn't want to lose Paul. And so he urged them not to do that. And, you know, they were told, those that could swim, to cast themselves into the sea first and go to land, and then the rest get on some boards and broken pieces of the ship. And it tells us as this chapter ends, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Oh, praise the Lord. How God can take situations that seem so hopeless, so knotted up, so messed up, and, you know, reasons, you know, mistakes that are made or hindrances or whatever all happened to get us into such a state of affairs. But what I see here is God's great mercy in his willingness to help us even at such times as that, and to give us a beautiful hope beyond this world. Oh yes, a hope that none else can offer but the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we are so blessed to serve one who is so merciful, so compassionate, so willing to help us at all points, at all times, and despite, you know, the dilemmas of life. And yeah, it could have been avoided if they would have listened to Paul. But you know, God had mercy on them anyway. And yeah, he was going to save them, and not just, you know, a few of them, but he was going to save all of them. And you know, Paul was a prisoner, and I'm quite certain there were several others of them, because it talks about prisoners, plural, in verse 42, that, you know, the soldiers, you know, thought good to kill so that they didn't swim out and escape. But, you know, God and his plan, and no, none of that happened. God saved every one of them, all 276 souls that were aboard that ship. And oh yes, the next chapter tells us how they came to that island, Melita, or also called Malta, where they were showed great kindness by the barbarian people who lived on that island. And God used them there. That was a tremendous thing that happened there on that island. You know, It was rainy and it was cold there, and you know, Paul was gathering sticks to help warm them at the fire, to lay on the fire. And you know, it tells us in that 28th chapter that while he was doing so, a viper or a snake came out of that heat and fastened on his hand. And these barbarian people, it was a poisonous snake. And oh my, it was venomous, it tells us. And it was hanging on his hand. And oh my, they're thinking, oh my, this man, you know, he must have escaped. He must be an evil murderer or something. And you know, now, oh my, it's going to be his doom. But what did Paul do? He just, you know, shook off that viper into the fire, and there was no harm whatsoever. And oh my, they looked at him, oh my, he should be dead. You know, he should have swelled greatly and, you know, shortly thereafter died. But God did likewise, did differently than they ever considered, you know. Oh my, according to his plan and his purpose, there was no harm that came upon Paul. And they decided he must be a god then. But oh my, you know, no, he wasn't a god. And I don't even know if they could even speak the same language and how communication really was. But, you know, obviously, you know, Paul got wind that the chief man on that island, whose name was Publius, he had a father that lay sick of a fire, of a fever, and of a bloody flux. And when Paul heard about that, what did Paul do? He went unto that man and laid his hands on him, and God healed him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and there were others with diseases on that island. Oh, yes, and they came forth and they were healed. Praise the Lord. God honored, oh, yes, that prayer of faith. And oh, these people were grateful. And when they finally left, they gave them the necessities that they required to continue their voyage. You know, God providing and making hope for them. But oh yes, God knows how to give hope. In the midst of despair, of confusion, oh yes, of all kinds of hindering things that befall the sons of man, human beings. God knows how to give us hope. Of course, the greatest hope that we have in our hearts and in our lives is that blessed hope. That blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh, that hope of life eternal. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Talks about it there in the book of Titus, amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 reads, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Overcoming that sin nature, right, by the strength and help of God, amen, the one who brought us salvation. In verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it's just such a beautiful hope that we have within this earthen vessel. Oh yes, it tells us in verse 14 here in the second chapter of Titus, "who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Oh, praise the Lord, the plan of God. Oh, the one that gave hope even to Adam and Eve after sin entered into the world. Oh, that hope of a Savior, oh yes, who would break the neck of Satan. Oh yes, who would destroy the works of the evil one. Oh yes, there was hope in the midst of great trouble and hopelessness. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, bringing it to pass. So praise the Lord as time passed many, many generations. But oh yes, the Savior that came into the world, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So praise the Lord. Oh, to bring forth his church, his people, his ecclesia. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, a people, oh, yes, that would delight in his ways. And besides, oh, yes, the salvation from sin. And we have a hope beyond this world. Amen. Oh, we don't have to be, of all men, most miserable. Oh, my. No, because there is a resurrection. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Oh, yes, and yes, he lives. And he will always live. Amen. And because he lives, we can live also. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes, we have that blessed hope. As we look forward to the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Oh, yes, his treasures. Oh, the ones that he has set forth. Oh, yes, and you know, set aside. Oh, yes, as his special treasure. Praise the Lord, who are zealous of good works. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have a blessed hope in Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. And oh, yes, we have something, oh yes, beyond this world, which is so amazing and wonderful. And oh yes, those prophets of old, they would prophesy by the grace of God, and oh, they would prophesy of things that they knew not. But oh, they would prophesy of this blessed hope that we have in our earthen vessels. Oh, praise the Lord. I like how it's written in the book of Joel. Oh yes, as Joel prophesied of the things to come. Oh yes, and all as he saw it, as God showed it unto him. This end time scenario, oh yes, that was very much revealed to Joel the prophet. It tells us here, the third chapter and verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty man. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Oh, yes, I think we are seeing this end time scenario developing in our very time. Oh, I think we are seeing, oh, yes, the wickedness overflowing, oh, being so great that judgment must be forthcoming. Amen. In all time, when God says, put in the sickle, now it is time to reap the harvest of the earth. Come, get you down, for the press is full. Oh, the sins, oh, that are overflowing in the vats, oh my, oh my. For their wickedness is great. And then it tells us in verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Oh, how important it is to turn our attention to the living God, to regard his word, to fear the Lord, to get our hearts right with God. Oh, yes, to repent of our sins and to obey the gospel. Oh, my, it's so important. Oh, I believe it's that day, oh, of decision here, that great need. Oh, yes, as many, many there in that valley of decision. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to serve God? Are you going to serve Bannon? What are you going to do? The day of the Lord is near. It's that day of decision. It's that time, oh yes, to bend the knees and to get right with God. This time period will end one of these moments. It's going to be over. Oh, yes, that angel, one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And, oh, that great cry that time shall be no more. It all comes to pass. Oh, yes, that moment when God will come forth to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, my, that moment. Oh, yes, that we all need to consider. Oh, and prepare our hearts for. Oh, yes, that we can stand in that day of judgment. Tells us the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And in the midst of all of this, it tells us in verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But praise the Lord, it tells us, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, if we ever needed hope, it will be at such a moment as that. Oh, my, if we ever needed to be right with God, it will be at such a moment as that when our God comes forth. Oh, yes, Jesus Christ himself to judge the thoughts of each and every individual, the deeds of every individual who has ever walked this earth. Oh, my, how we need to be right, how we need to be living for God. Oh, by this moment, as he roars out of Zion, all at once, suddenly, you know, quick, without great warning, here he is. The trump of God and the dead in Christ rising first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But oh, here it is, that great cry that comes forth, that great trumpet that sounds, that great shout from heaven, heavens and the earth shaking. Oh, yes, as God is coming forth to judge this earth and put an end to it. Oh, to bring forth his new heaven and his new earth wherein will dwell righteousness. But praise the Lord, and we're in the midst of this. The Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, yes. In a moment when we need him more than any other moment, when we need to be right at that moment more than any other moment, oh, it will be so vital, so very important. But oh, praise the Lord, we have these moments even now to get right. Oh, yes, to turn to the living God and to embrace that hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are blessed to know the Lord. And as it tells us again in Romans, that 8th chapter, as I get ready to close, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Oh, yes, we are waiting. Oh, yes, for that moment when the Lord will come and be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Oh, yes, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that hope that we have. Oh, not by any other means, not by any other method. Oh my, not by any other philosophy. There is nothing else that will work. But oh yes, to embrace that hope that we find in Jesus Christ, amen. The one who gave his life a ransom for his people. Oh, that he might save us from our sins. Oh yes, that we might know him. Oh yes, that we might be freed from our old man and our awful old sinful ways. Praise the Lord, that hope that he puts within our heart. Oh yes, it will one day be a reality. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for that hope that you have put within us. Oh God, none else could offer such a hope. But oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you made it available to us, Lord. And oh God, that we can, oh God, we can reach for it, Lord. Oh God, we can claim it. We can rest in thy presence. Oh Lord, and we can rest in thy promises. Oh Lord, and oh God, we can believe in the hope that you put within our hearts, that glorious hope. Oh yes, that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let it be in each heart. Oh, God, in each individual, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we are saved by hope. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Amen. Hope in the midst of a storm. Oh,
amen.
Thank you, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our chorus books. We're going to turn to number 42 and sing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." 42 in the chorus book.
Salvation.
safe. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.